Morning, folks. This is our wider SBS coaching call. So for those of you who are who've joined the program at the beginning of the year and are working through the program with your SBCA coaches, this is an additional call from me. So I'm really glad to see folks here, and for those of you who are watching the recording, just lovely to be with you. We've got more people just joining. No problem at all, Kate. You take your time. For those of you who are going through the program in those consecutive modules, we're looking at self-acceptance and moving into self-worth. We've looked a little bit at self-belief. So I thought it would be quite helpful to revisit and deepen some of those concepts and have a conversation about not just how we connect to ourselves, because I know you've been doing that in your coaching circles, but how we connect to other people and how we do that in a way that is reflective of our healthy adult selves rather than our protectors, right? Because often, what can happen is our protectors are our sort of outward facing selves in lots of ways, right? Our protectors become, whether you have a critic or a bystander or a scapegoat or a martyr, whatever those patterns that tend to show up, they'll be present most likely in your relationships. And so what can happen is we've got these parts of us that are trying to keep us safe from all of those risks that we worry about. And they're actually the ones that are in charge of our relationships, our romantic relationships, and how we respond to things that come up between us and our partners, but also our friendships, our work colleague relationships, strangers on the internet. If any of you are on social media, I'm sure you've noticed that your protector often has things to say about how you show up there. So I thought it might be helpful to explore this a little more deeply. And I guess I just want to check in with those of you who are here. Does that kind of resonate? Does that feel like, oh, I think that might be happening? Yeah. Nodding heads. Yeah. I'm curious to know if you're thinking, oh, if there's an example you wanted to share about how that shows up for any of you. Anyone want to be brave and maybe share something? You of course don't have to. Because I know for me, asking for help is really hard. I find that really tricky, particularly in my close friendships. I often have to be in quite a state to say, hey, I'm actually not okay, or I really need something here. And I think that's that kind of martyr protector. I don't want to inconvenience anyone. I don't want them to know that I'm not the strong one, because that can sometimes feel like, oh, if I'm not who I want you to know me as, if I don't always respond like that, what might happen to our friendship? Like, what might you end up thinking of me? Does that kind of you guys sort of feeling that sort of resonate? Yeah. It may also show up in romantic partnerships, like what we'll ask for in terms of having our needs met or making requests of someone, right? If our protector's in charge, then those connections can almost be happening on a different plane to what we're really feeling and experiencing. So the more you can bring your healthy adult self into any relationship that you have, any connection you have with another human, the more authentic you're going to feel, right? The more you're going to feel like you're actually living your values rather than, you know, managing all the risks through your protector. Yeah, does that kind of make sense? So So what we're going to talk about today is how to do that, or our way into that. Hey, Fiona, nice to see you. Svenja, it's good to see you. So we're going to talk about that, about how to bring more of our healthy adult self into these connections with other people. Yeah, I love that, Sheena. With friendships, I'm a bit black and white. Always assume people don't like me straight away, which is probably a way to keep myself safe. Completely, right? It's almost like, let's expect the worst, and then somehow I won't be hurt when that happens. Is that the kind of thinking? Yeah, completely right. Yeah, so it's interesting to notice, like, who's in charge of this friendship, this relationship? Is it more like my protector is leading, or is it my healthy adult self? And what are either of them offering me? And what do I want to choose? What feels better for me? Sometimes it's going to feel better to keep yourself safe, right? But sometimes it's like, oh, I think I can be a bit braver here. I think we have established some trust between us in this relationship. Maybe I can do something brave. For me, that's always about asking for help or letting people know that I'm maybe haven't got all my shit together about something, you know, showing that more of that vulnerability. Yeah. Sometimes it can be like, if there's usually in a kind of group of friends, there's usually someone who does the kind of organizing and someone who does the picking up the pieces, right? You recognize these kind of types of responses. And when I think about that, I think, well, we've got an overworker who's doing the organizing, right? Someone who's overworking and overgiving. And someone who's kind of picking up the pieces, like, you know, if anyone is sad at the end of a night or anything like that, the person who's there taking care of people, it's someone who's overgiving as well, right? So it's like, oh, those things show up. If you sort of find particularly friendships a bit of a struggle, as a lot of us do in adulthood, it's a very, very common, I think it's kind of endemic to our worlds now. Just the nature of our connections are so, but are mostly not in person. So if you struggle with building friendships as an adult, you may find you actually have your bystander leading. Like, I'll just wait until they come to me or the perfect opportunity presents itself, right? And you might find your scapegoats showing up if there is a kind of, oh, this is too hard. There's conflict, or there's something that isn't feeling right, and I don't feel brave enough to name it. I don't really feel brave enough to have those conversations. Or I'm just feeling overwhelmed by too many people, so I'm going to back away completely. Right? So just some examples of how our protectors can be in charge of those relationships. When it comes to romance, you add in a whole other layer, right? A whole other layer. And it's really interesting, I think, to do a little bit of an inventory. For those of you who are dating, online dating or what have you, if that isn't feeling kind of fun, or at least some of the time, if you aren't meeting the kinds of people that you do actually want to spend time with, then it's worth doing a little inventory around why that might be. What's going on there, right? And if you are in a relationship, in a committed relationship, there are always going to be waves of experiences where you're like, oh, something's off here, or I'm not feeling like we're a team, something that's out of balance. And it's worth looking at that too, right? What role am I playing in that? And even if you think it is all the other person's fault, which is always so tempting, right? If only they would, right? Then it's really great to just go, yeah, okay, given all of that, how am I participating or not in helping to resolve this? Yeah. So does anyone want to share anything just as I've sort of set the scene for what we're going to do today? Anyone wants to share anything that's coming up for them? No, you're all good. Fab. Just give me a wave if you do. love it when these things are more interactive, because that just helps you to also experience that it's safe to say this stuff out loud. This is very human and understandable, and you know, everyone else is going to go, me too. So please know that. So I thought what we would do is a little exercise using one of the tools from SVS called the heart map, to just have a little look at some of the relationships that you have right now and what may need to change and how we might go about doing that, right? So I just want to invite everyone to just take a pen and paper, and you can do this two ways. What we're going to do is get a list of people, right? Just a list to start with. People in, and it can be either just people in your life, right? So you just start to list the people in your life, because you can do a whole relationship inventory. It could be that you want to take the people in a particular context, like work or family or friendships, right? So depending on how you want to tackle this, just choose one. You can always go back and expand it or get a little more granular after the call. But we just want to have some raw material to play with. So I just want you to make a choice. Is this a whole relationships, all the relationships list, or specific relationships? And then just make a list of all of the people that you're connected to, right? In that, either in that context or in that wider piece. And you're just going to list their names just so you can identify them. So yeah, just take a moment to do that. I also want to make sure that you include on your list people that you don't like that are still included, right? People that you may want to kind of deny exist for this exercise. This gets juicy when you include everybody. All the people, even the ones you don't like or you have some tension with at the moment. Another moment. Okay, so hopefully you've got now a kind of list of the folks that are connected to you in some way, both disliked and loved, and everyone in between, who are connected to you either in a specific context or in the wider kind of scope of relationships in your life. And so what we're going to do is plot these folks on the heart map. So I'm just going to share the diagram here. So you can just draw this on your page, right? And what this, all you want here is like a center heart place, which is you, and then three consecutive rings. And what you do is just plot these people, this list of people, based on how much energy they take up, whether that is good or bad, right? How much time are you spending with these people in person or thinking about them in your mind? Right? How much energy are they taking up? The reason to add in the folks that you don't like is perhaps you do this as a work context, and there is a colleague you have where there is tension and there is a disconnect. And actually, if you're honest, they're taking up a lot of your brain space, a lot of your energy, right? And so they go quite close to your heart.
May I ask something?
Of course.
So if you say they are taking a lot of energy, is this more negative or?
It can be giving and taking. It's like the energetic exchange, how of all of your energy that you have in the day, your attention, right, your care.
Mm-hmm.
What's the percentage that these people are taking up? And that can be positive or negative, right? It's kind of benign.
Yeah. Okay.
So close to your heart, you could have a toxic boss, your Instagram nemesis, and your dear family that you adore, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has an Instagram nemesis.
Okay, thank you.
Does that make sense, Fenya?
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. And once you've kind of plotted your people, just notice if anyone's missing. Add those folks in. Oh, and just one other thing to notice is there someone who doesn't yet exist in your life, but is taking up your energy? So what I mean by that is there a future baby or a partner or a best friend that you have wanted forever and can't quite imagine how that might happen yet? Right? Are there 10,000 Instagram followers, right? If you're spending energy thinking about these people, even if they're not yet in your life, feel free to add them in. So your people can be imaginary, future, past, real. They may not be in your physical space. They may not even be in your life, right? So you may have a friendship that has ended in a confusing way, but you spend a lot of time thinking about that person, even though you're not in touch, they get to go in there too. Furry people count as well. If there is a dog in your future, which I highly recommend, then please add them in. So what you've built here is a kind of map of, you know, who's taking up your heart space, right? Who are you currently connected with, either in your whole life or in an aspect of your life? And just kind of have a look at the whole map. Just notice where everybody is. And then what we're going to do is a map of your future relationships, right? So I've got another map, which looks fascinatingly familiar. One second, and I will bring it up. Can find it. Oh, what happened there? For some reason, it won't open. Okay, so I'm going to get you to use your imaginations, because the future relationship heart map, the only change is that it says future relationships at the top of the page, okay? What I want you to do is replot every single person that's on your current relationships map. Replot them to where you would like them to be, right? Who needs to move? Do they need to move further away? Would you like to bring them closer in? And you can do this on a separate map if that's more helpful to you, or you can kind of use a different colored pen or draw arrows, whatever works for you. Where would you like these people to be? There may be some folks that you actually want outside of this map altogether, kind of put them on the moon, right? And just notice, like, what's that like to just admit that to yourself? Remember, all we're doing here is just acknowledging something for ourselves. You don't have to do anything at all about this. This is just about letting your healthy adult self have a little say in your relationships map. And just when you've kind of made the changes you're thinking about, just kind of sit back and take it all in. Just have a little look at what changes you do want to make. You may want to write some notes for yourself about how it feels, what comes up for you. Are there fears or worries about making that change? Does it feel impossible to make that change? Just acknowledge that for yourself. Does anyone need any more time? Feeling all right? So just want to invite you to share, like, what changes do you want to make? What do you notice? Fiona, you're asking a question. Do you want to just come on, Fiona, and chat about this? I haven't read your question, so.
It's a silly question, and I know the answer, but it's that sense of I've got this. It's still not a large group, but a group of people in this bit closest to my heart. And more than half of them are people that I would like further out or like on the moon. For some of them, I should say I did this on a client on a work basis, but I think this is probably true of my friendships and relationships too. And I guess, so my question is it okay to want fewer people, better quality relationships, but fewer of them, closer to me? And I think I know the answer is yes, but there's something in me that goes, I've got to have a solid group of five or six people who are my people. And actually I've probably only got two. But they're two brilliant people. So,
I love that you've answered your own question because you're so bloody wise. Tell me more about this desire. This I've got to have my people. What? Tell me more about that.
I think so. As I was trying to write the message in the chat, I was thinking, why is it that I think that more is better? I think it's because more is better in lots of fields. Like it's better in how we view life generally, right? In society, not necessarily in this lovely group of people. I think it's part of the way I grew up in that more is better was very much how my family approached success. And right. Then I think for a long time, I felt like I was rewarded for having lots of friends. I knew lots of people and they all liked me, and my parents saw that as a really good thing. And I've probably perpetuated that into my adult life, that sense of actually more is better. And it's taken me the last 10 years to realize that I value quality friendships over quantity. Quantity of friendships.
Yeah.
But I still, as I look at this, I realize that I have brought clients into the bit closest to my heart who are driving me nuts. And that's taking energy and I'm not sleeping. And like, it's definitely time that we, and I've said no to some, which I'm really proud of this week. But it turns out there's a couple of others that I probably need to say no to or need to push differently because it's exhausting me.
So I just love your awareness and insight into this. Like, firstly, like it's your, and when you listen back to this, you'll be like, oh my God, I'm so clear, right? I just want to reflect back what I heard you say and see if this lands for you. You grew up in a home where popularity was valued. The more the better. More people around you, it's like, oh, great, that's a good thing. We value that in our house. Yeah, same, by the way. Yeah. I think because my family were very involved in sports. So it was almost like, if you don't bring the whole team, then who even are you? And as someone who never loved sports, then that was really tough, right? Because somehow I'm letting them down. Right. So I just want to kind of offer you that, to see when we grow up in a home that does value popularity, there can be a risk associated with maybe not always feeling popular. Or not valuing that yourself.
Yeah, I think it's true, and it's interesting because it was like an undercurrent rather than it being, I think, if asked, I'd have said I grew up in a situation where success was key, so I needed to excel and be the very best, which I didn't do, which didn't make parents very happy on the whole, but that's fine.
Right.
But the part of that, I guess, was that that I signed up and joined a load of clubs and sports that allowed, some of which I loved, some of which I didn't, but that got me in contact with people and built this network so that even when I didn't have the success, I had the popularity, as you say. And I think that was rewarded. You're right. I don't think it was necessarily something I had realized till now.
Yeah. So what's at risk if you decided that you weren't going to play that game anymore? That you were going to honor this part of you that actually values, from what you've said, values those rich quality friendships. And sometimes that's fewer friendships.
I don't think actually there is a huge risk anymore, because I've lost people over the last 10 years in that way that as adults we do. Mm-hmm. Ages and stages. We don't have kids. Most of our friends have children. And that is a gulf that just, there's work to be done. And for some of them, because I do, this is not clients, this is friends, but there's some you push into that. But I guess I feel like I've lost quite a lot along the way, that I'm not that worried about picking up where previously I have been.
Right.
On a kind of work basis, I think there's something for me about how I separate my work life from my, I do wonderful work that I love, that's very authentically me and I enjoy it and it's wonderful, but that means I take it home and think about it all the time. Isn't that wonderful, everyone?
Yeah.
I think there's something about putting in some more healthy barriers. I don't think I'm doing enough to build healthy barriers. That's not the question you ask, but
it's fine. But I think there's something about just acknowledging for yourself that in the past there's probably been, as you said, a bit of fear of loss. Like, if I actually push people away, I'm doing the exact opposite of what my family of origin have told me is the right thing to do. Right? If I say no to people, or I think, you're not really my people, good luck. That's very courageous thing to do, because it's honoring you. Right, it's just, it's very much that self-acceptance thing. This is just how I feel. And I'm going to acknowledge that for myself.
I think you're right, that loss and loss of relationships has been the thing that has propelled me into self-doubt. And certainly thinking about how I say no and the things that I do to protect myself. How I say yes to stuff and why I say yes to stuff is really helping me take a much more self-beliefy type approach.
Yeah.
But that I hadn't really thought about the fact that the loss and guilt that I feel so throughout so much of my life, and if you'd looked at that mapping we did very early on, it was full of that. And I think I hadn't thought that plays into relationships and into friendships. You're absolutely right. I felt so much guilt over the people I've lost because I you know, I could have done better, and that look at how wonderful they are, and, you know, and actually it's okay.
Yeah.
It's perfectly okay.
There's something about that, and I feel you on the, you know, when you have friends that have kids, and then, you know, their whole world changes. It's not just an addition, right? It's like everything shifts. And if we haven't ever done that, we can't even imagine what that does. And so I think there's something about, actually, I need to get to know a whole different person now. Who are you today now? And sometimes that means, actually, I'm not feeling it. We just have completely different worlds now. And I, you know, I wish you so well, and it's okay. You know, that can be okay. And it can also be really sad, and you can feel that loss.
Yeah.
And like you say, some of them you think, some people you think, actually, I want to pick up. I want to see if we can reconnect. And there's something about that compassion for yourself and the other person, like almost forgiving yourself and forgiving them, right? And being in that place of, okay, who are you today, my friend? What can we connect on today?
I love that question. Obviously not to ask to someone because it sounds a bit difficult to answer, but over coffee. But I that sense of, I guess, just getting almost starting again, like dating your friends.
I have a friend of mine, another Kiwi, who is also a coach, and sometimes when coaches talk to each other it can sound like a parody, like a Saturday Night Live skit, but her opening question to me is always, oh, who are you today? Which I love, like that really touches me, and because I know it comes from a really sweet place of, I'm genuinely interested in who you are, like, today. And it's permission to show up how you are today, which is lush. But I think just carrying the energy of that question into a conversation can be really, really calming for both of you.
Yeah, and it gives you permission to be different to who you were yesterday or last year or 3 years ago, or
and I'd also offer Fiona, like, just that realization, oh, there's actually quite a few people I want to move around a bit here, is most of us never do this kind of like pause inventory type approach, right? We just don't, because we're in the river of our lives, and I think that's one of the reasons that this work can be just a really lovely experience, is because you do get the permission to kind of go, I'm just going to take, like, literally we took 10 minutes, right, 10 to 15 minutes to just have a little look at who's in my life, who am I now, who are they, is that still feeling good, where do I want to go with this, you know? So I'm not suggesting that we diarize this every quarter, right? But I think sometimes it can be a great way to just pause and have a little look. And it sounds like for Hannah, this is also something that's coming up for you too, Hannah. Yeah. Yeah. How does that land for you, Fiona? Are you feeling?
That was everything I needed and more. Thanks, Beth.
You're so welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah. You're so welcome. Love that you have the answers. I often find, and if you listen to these calls, almost all of you will tell yourself the answer when you're explaining what's going on, right? Like you are so self-aware, and you're figuring this out already. You've probably already done some thinking about it. And so when you verbalize it, it's like, oh, actually, there's something in here for me. And you know, this is, you know, one of the reasons why any kind of talking therapy can help, is because all we're actually doing is bringing into consciousness stuff that we've maybe just muddled around in the background. It's sort of bit below the surface. Yeah. Thanks, Fiona. That was lovely. Kate, Hannah, you offered some comments in there. I wonder if you want to share anything with the group that's coming up for you, maybe.
I will, yeah. I don't know if Kate, if you want to go as well, but I think one of the things I really appreciated with Fiona bringing that up was speaking about shifting and moving away from certain friendships and acknowledging that that's part of life, because I think that's been a real wake-up call for me in the last few years, weeks, months, of just actually getting to a point of accepting that it's okay for friendships to end. I think we're very good at accepting relationships ending, and friendships ending is something that I've never really learned or knowing how to deal with it. And I've noticed very much that my kind of scapegoat has come out a lot with things like that, of just being like, almost just kind of head in the sand, don't know how to deal with it, don't know what to say, just let's leave it and see if who reaches out first. And if no one does, then it's, you know, that kind of thing. I've been like, okay, cool. Over. But yeah, I know that there's something within all of that as well of being like, maybe in time being able to reframe that conversation. And I really liked that sort of starting again, that thing that you were just saying right at the end of kind of redating friends, maybe, and acknowledging that maybe that's something that I could do in the future, but right now it's not where I'm at. And also what Kate was saying of like, my parents are very introverted and they don't have a big social network, and I did for a really long time, and now it's suddenly gone small, but in a way that feels much more connected now. And also moving to a very rural place, which I feel much more in community than I ever did, which is a real surprise to me, actually. But I think it's because I see the same people all the time, and we have conversations, whereas when I lived in a city, it was like everything was quite separate and vague, and I didn't really matter in the community, basically. Yeah, I think one of the things that was coming up as well was perhaps the realization that I need to put a bit more effort into relationships with my family. Of like, I think in my mind I hold them really closely, but actually I don't do much work there. I don't like, I'm not so good at putting the effort into being in regular contact in the way that I want to. But I think, again, that sort of looking at the sort of scapegoat thing of being like, oh, well, I'll just wait for them to call me, rather than actually being like, I can choose how I want to show up to that relationship and be a better auntie, or, you know, those kind of things. So, yeah.
I love that, Hannah. And this is why I think this kind of work is the combination of self-belief, of our sovereignty and self-acceptance, right? Our needs and emotions and our sense of connection and belonging. Because our values are at play here. Your values are loud and clear here. You know, that connection is a big thing for you. And so in moving to a smaller place, you get the opportunity to really deepen that values like front and center. And it sounds like it's giving you some winks to say, hey, there's some folks over there you may want to connect with too.
Yeah.
So paying attention to any discord, any discomfort, or a sense of, oh, what's missing, what needs to shift or change, is an opportunity to sort of do something different, experiment with doing something different to see what happens that can positively impact your relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think just actually realizing that I can be responsible.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really nice thing, isn't it? When you suddenly get to that point of being like, I can choose how I want to show up to this, rather than just waiting for things to happen, which I think I have a tendency to do.
Yeah.
That's my protector, definitely.
That's a great thing to just be aware of, right? If I'm waiting, it's worth asking myself what I'm waiting for, or why I feel like I can't take some action or do the thing I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually you'll be able to figure out like what might I be protecting myself from.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, it's the best place to get to is when you like that radical compassionate responsibility for your own life.
Mm.
And this is in no way connected to any kind of concept of perfectionism, right? It's all about, I can sort of see where I'm not like doing the thing that feels good to me here. There's not a lot of pride and joy in this area. Let me see what I want to do. Oh, this feels really good. This is me now, right? And so it starts to inform you about what really matters to you, how you can have more of that.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thanks. Love it. So excited for your nieces and nephews. They get fun Auntie Hannah hanging out with them more. Hey, Kate.
Hey.
Just by the way, loving the hair.
Continuing to cycle through colors. I guess the thing that I'm thinking about is almost a reverse in the sense that I kind of have this thing like, you know, like we've talked about, like it's good to be popular, it's and sort of almost getting my self-esteem from other people like me, therefore I must be a good person. And I am realizing that I'm just sort of saying yes to too many social engagements, and what I really value is more time by myself. And I've kind of noticed the difference, because for, you know, in lockdown I was going on lots of walks, spending a lot of time alone, and sort of really thinking, oh, I want to be able to share these with other people. But actually it's like a very different experience for me going for a walk with somebody else. It's like a great experience, you get a really deep conversation, but I'm so focused on the conversation I don't notice my surroundings. So I'm like, oh, it's actually good to do both, because I feel a very different kind of satisfaction doing something by myself and really able to connect with the environment and sort of hear the birds and see what I'm seeing. Or like visiting an art gallery by myself is a very different experience to with somebody else, where my focus is just more on that person and that connection rather than where I am. And so I guess I just had this kind of, I guess, belief from my protector of kind of needing other people, that like doing something is good, but doing it with someone else is better. And I think this is making me reflect on, well, it's not better, it's just different. And you can choose each of the things depending on actually what you want. And sometimes it makes you feel really icky to just like turn somebody down who said, you want to do this thing with me, because I'd rather do it by myself. It feels really mean and selfish, but actually, yeah, that is just like a healthy, yeah, I get to hang out with me as well as other people. I came happy turning invitations down if I feel like I've got a valid excuse, but wanting to hang out just with me doesn't feel like a valid excuse. So that's what this has brought up for me.
I love the idea of both and.
Mm.
Right, like in our last in module 10 we talk about adding in more complexity is really the kind of secret to adulthood, right? It's like it's never binary, nothing is binary. And so how can we create more complexity where you're just adding in and making choices based on the context?
Yeah.
That sounds like a really positive shift for you, Kate, around am I walking with people or am I walking on my own? Like it's...
Hey, what do I feel like doing? Yeah.
What do I feel people. Like doing? Yeah.
Exactly. This is a common experience, as you say, just like have these very blanket rules around making decisions. And actually part of what this course is showing me is like tapping into that intuition, that self-belief kind of for each decision individually, rather than just like defaulting to
and just to also offer, I'm hearing another default, and I'm going to always feel guilty and selfish if I choose myself. And I wonder how you could reframe that for yourself.
Yeah, I guess it does also feel quite exciting to prioritize me.
Yeah.
I just I don't know, like I can just hear my mum's voice actually about, you know, that's far too indulged, and those of us with real responsibilities don't get to do that kind of, which I know is silly, but I guess it's just, yeah, actually just sort of putting that to one side, I mean, like actually I do have the time to devote to my own interests, and why shouldn't I? Yeah.
And you know, if you think objectively about your mum and her friendships, her life, her state of well-being, is she someone you want to emulate?
No.
Right?
So, yeah.
So that's good to know, right? Oh, there's something in here that might be at risk between me and mum if I do different things.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, okay.
I'd also like encourage you to maybe ponder, what would it be like to hear from the other side? So what if you went to a friend and said, hey, I'd love to go and see this exhibition on Saturday. Do you want to, can we do it together? And they said, oh, I'd love to, but I'm dating myself on Saturday.
Yeah, no, that would feel good. And actually something, it wasn't quite that, but I had was sort of in the midst of arranging to meet out with a friend for dinner, and she came back and said, you know what, I'm actually just not very good in the evenings, my energy levels are quite low, can we meet for brunch instead? And my response was like, wait, we get to ask that?
Yeah.
It was actually, gave me a lot of permission to not just, yeah, like do, because I'm the same, like, but I just do things in the evening because that's when socializing happens, but actually thinking about when I'd actually want to do it, it's really helpful. And I think the same would happen. It's like people become role models for, yeah, setting their own boundaries.
Yeah. It's so interesting, isn't it? Like how we make decisions about how other people are going to feel. And then you do the pause and the inventory, right? The pause and reflect. Actually, what might happen? How would that feel to me? You know, and it sounds like actually that's more of a reflection of your self-belief, of your values and what matters to you, your intentions for a friendship. I think it, as well, my experience is that it can really deepen friendships when you say, you know what, I just really hate doing that. You know, I've got a friend who, a really close friend, who, you know, just if we meet up, it's because we're gonna eat somewhere and we're gonna sit down and we're gonna have a long chat. She's like, I hate walking around places. I hate doing action dates. Like, fuck that. Let's just actually connect with each other. And for me, that was, oh my God, I'm so grateful that I get to do that with you, because that's my idea of a good time too. So it's a really sweet values match. And it means neither of us have to pretend that we like doing something that we actually don't. Right. So the relationship deepens as part of that. Amazing. Beautiful share, Kate. Thank you. Anyone else want to share anything before we close for the morning?
Yes.
Hey, Svenja.
Hi. yeah, I recognized I have one person. She's very close to my heart in the current relationship map. And I want her closer to my heart, and I don't know how. It's like, okay, what can I do? Like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what can you do?
I don't know. I know I could send her a message and ask her to come here or to spend time, but I'm a bit afraid that she says no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's so useful to recognize there's a risk, right? There's mm-hmm. a risk. What if there's rejection or some feeling of it not being met?
Mm-hmm.
And so if she says no, what will you make that mean?
I think I'm always in this rejection kind of thinking.
Yeah.
And she doesn't like me or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So notice that right now, by not having her closer, you're rejecting her.
Hmm.
You're just doing it in a very subtle way. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's playing on your mind. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. My sense is you're only going to know if you do the courageous thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you risk it. Let her know. Hey, you know, think about how you would like someone to reach out to you.
Mm.
Right? You know, I've been thinking of you. I'd love to see you. Do you think we could arrange that? Does that feel good to you? You know, and see what she comes back with. Doesn't have to be a big explanation of here's everything that's happened since we last spoke or anything. It's like, you know, just a very light, open invitation and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can just see, is your theory that you're always going to be rejected, is that actually true? Or is that maybe connected to something that's happened in the past? Or maybe a few things that have happened in the past that are kind of really guiding your relationships now?
Mm-hmm.
When actually now you're older and wiser, you've managed through those situations, you have more resources.
Mm. Yeah.
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 And I think, you know, for all of us, we absolutely need other people. Like, there's so much focus in the, self-help area, but you know what I mean, right? In this whole area of personal development, the focus is always on us as humans individually, and actually we need other people. We find out who we are with other people. A lot of us, mm-hmm. because of COVID and lockdowns and the way that we have these relationships online now, we've sort of forgotten how to connect in person.
Mm-hmm.
But your friend that you want to bring closer, she needs people too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm assuming she's a she. So that means, you know, the likelihood that will be met is probably quite high.
Okay, yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I will write that down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's a lovely, and for anyone who is like, you know, feels a bit sensitive to rejection, and for folks who are neurodiverse, this can actually be a thing, right? There is a kind of deeper sensitivity to rejection. If that is a thing for you, I think the way to kind of help you or support yourself is to remember that we all need people, right? And you, when you do the thing that Hannah was talking about, right, you take that kind of responsibility and say, okay, well, I'm gonna just do the brave thing and take the first step. And even if that person is decides that I'm not their people, there'll be other rooms I can walk into and meet other people, right? Because everyone needs other people. Nice. Yeah. Love it. Definitely, definitely go grab your people. Okay. This has been joyous. Thank you, everyone. A little piece of homework, just if you want, like an advanced student point, is to make a choice as you close up this call. Make one choice about something you're going to do differently. And do that in the next week and see what comes of it. Yeah. Feel free to share on the forum anything that comes up. Okay. Take care, everybody. So fun to hang out with you. Okay. I'll see you soon. All right.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thanks, everyone. Bye.